The Dogs of War podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Party on, Raleigh, and party on, Kevin.
Hey! Dogs of War, Dogs of War podcast. Cleveland Browns.
It's the offseason. It's time to talk Brown stuff with your excellent co-host, Raleigh. And with him, as always, is equally excellent co-host, Kevin. Browns confirmed, Raleigh. And Browns confirmed, Kevin.
Dogs of War!
Okay. We rolling?
Yeah, we've been recording.
Oh, nice. Did you get the part where we're talking about?
Yeah, but we're not going to cut that part out.
Okay. Welcome back to the Dogs of War
podcast.
You're supposed You're supposed to save the fourth syllable of Dog of War. I don't know how many syllables that in.
Well, anyway, said Dogs of War. I thought I was supposed to say podcast. So welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. Happy?
Yes. Yes, I am. I was talking to Zabo, actually. I'm your host, Raleigh, along with my beloved equal co-host.
I'm your other host, Kevin.
And our third co-host, honorary co-host, Ryan Zabo of Zabo Apparel Company.
Long time overdue. If you've ever listened to even 5 seconds of this podcast, you know that every intro to the podcast has been about Zabo Apparel Company, and that's szabo apparel.com. So, BZ, thank you for joining us, sir. Brian Zabo, obviously the owner and founder of Zabo Apparel Company, and it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How'd you come up with the name Zabo Apparel Company?
I regret it so badly. I mean, it's horrible, because I didn't know it would turn into a full-time thing or whatever, and I just cheesed it and used my last name, and there's so many way cooler names because nobody can pronounce it. They are like, how do you say that? Sazabo.
No way. I think Zabo is a great name. Zabo Apparel Company, that's something different. Sack up, baby, let's go.
Yeah. that was actually my brother suggested that sack, like sack apparel, but I'm like, we'll probably just stick with the last name.
So one thing I always say when we read the ad for Zabo Apparel Company, and for those of you who have also listened to this, you know that Mr. Zabo was instrumental with a lot of the stuff with Tom Seipel. He's done a lot of stuff with other players, current and past. We'll get into that. But I want to talk about the one thing that I like that Zabo does. All right, Zabo being the company, I'm not talking to you in like third person.
He is the company.
You are a military veteran, and you have a really sick military clothing line. Can you talk a little bit about your military background and the inspiration for just keeping that going in the store?
Yeah. Well, I was in the Marine Corps, and the whole military line, I actually started talks with a buddy of mine. It was his idea first. He wanted to start a full-on military clothing line before I started what I've got now. And he couldn't go 100, you know, he had another job, couldn't go 100% into it. So he was also a veteran. We had another guy that was a veteran. So we had kind of three branches involved there. But that's where the military line came from. I had a couple of ideas left over. I want to expand on it eventually, but it's just the way things go with the Cleveland stuff. There's just so much work now. It's hard to find time with there's just me and another person working here. So we get stretched pretty thin, but eventually I want to expand it more.
And this isn't a knock on you, but when we went, you and I, we all went to the last home game of the year against Pittsburgh. You were there with us and Seipel and everyone. You and I had a quick sidebar. I asked you, and this is no knock on you, because I don't expect many people can do this. I can barely write my own name, if we're being honest here. I asked who designs all your shirts, and you said you design all the shirts, and you are the graphic genius behind all of this. That blew me away, number one, because, and again, I'm not surprised, but people have like graph, they're the ideas, and then they have to design it. But I mean, Raleigh and I are wearing your shirts right now. You got one on. You have some of the most unique Cleveland gear. All your shirts are unique and just wildly creative. When did you start drawing, making graphics? I don't even know how to talk about it.
I started as a kid. I always wanted to be a comic book artist, so I was always kind of in my room drawing and sketching and stuff like that. And I never had a chance to do anything with art. You know, after the military, which was my plans, but, you know, life takes over. So I ended up working at the city in the sewer plant, which was a learning experience and very exciting. And I just had this opportunity to do some artwork for some shirts for fundraising for the local schools, sports programs around here. So that's how I kind of gravitated towards the t-shirt thing. And it was, I just found it was an outlet to do something creative. And it's so much fun. There's so many good companies in Cleveland. It's a unique t-shirt town. I mean, everybody's doing different stuff, and it's just a very fun market. It's for me, it's not a competitive thing, because you see things other people are doing, you're like, oh man, that's cool. And it's all based out of love for the sport, for the teams, which is right up my alley. So it's something I just really love to do.
And that's a good point when you say that, because we've said this 1,000 times on this podcast and elsewhere. Cleveland has the best merch of any sports city there is. I mean, you just can't get more creative, unique, different shirts and gear for all of our teams, even not the teams, just the cities and the military stuff that you do as well. So when it comes to all these different t-shirt companies in Cleveland, like you just said, I feel like you guys all have your own lane, your own niche, your own style, which makes it all, like, of course, everything's competition for everyone, but you know, I feel like people in Cleveland, they're not just like, I'm only going to wear this company, not this company. Like, right. If you go anywhere, you're going to see a mix. I mean, predominantly Zabo, of course. Let's just keep it real. But I own shirts from every, you know, Cleveland t-shirt manufacturer. Because that's just, you just got to be well-rounded, of course. But can you talk about the first time that you saw a random stranger wearing one of your shirts, like at a game or a public or something?
Yeah, it was actually a bunch of dudes from Canada. There was a whole group of them that I met. They come down every year, and I'm walking to the bathroom or to get a beer or something. And there's this whole group of guys wearing my shirts, and I'm like, get out of here. I was like, oh, that's a cool shirt. And he saw mine. He's like, yeah, that's a cool one. He's like, we got it from this place. I'm like, yeah, I know, I made it. And he's like, oh, no way. And we hugged
it out. That's awesome. Before COVID.
There's all kinds of Browns fans in Canada. It's awesome. And he said, yeah, they have this huge group every year. They come down from the game. Yeah, pre-COVID. So that was actually the first time. It was just kind of surreal because I started doing it for fun. And I'm the small guy in the city that, you know, everybody else is a much bigger company. So to see somebody actually wearing it, I was like, whoa. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but one thing you have, in my outside observation and opinion, is that you have that far west side market with all the different schools. I know you guys do like Vermilion, Amherst stuff that no one else can touch or will touch. So that's awesome. And your store, granted, my entire family's been in that store except me at this point now in Vermilion. You guys have so many different designs and t-shirts and hats and sweatshirts. And my favorite thing about Zabo, besides the designs and the story of how you guys started it from scratch, is you guys are the most reasonably priced merch gear store in Cleveland, and I challenge anyone to beat me out on that.
That was something that I really that came from the youth sports, because when you coach these kids, which you know I was coaching in the youth program too, and in the middle school, you see all the stuff the parents have to pay for, and if they're multi-sport athletes, it adds up. And so I wanted to kind of keep the prices affordable, and And I'm not knocking anybody else's price by any means, because it's all worth it. But for me, the way I have it worked out, because we print everything in house, I'm able to, you know, keep things maybe a little lower than some, which might bite me in the ass eventually. But it's working out so well so far.
I was going to say, why don't you just jack your prices up and boom, we got that yacht money. Yeah, right. But yes, take care of the multifamily athletes or multi-sport athlete families. Good for you. He's a philanthropist, a Marine, a shirt guy, and a Browns fan, and my friend.
How many people come up to you and say, I would love to start a shirt company. How do I do it? Is that a common question you get, like on Instagram or just in person in the store or just out in public?
Yeah. And it's pretty awesome because here in Vermilion, it's a small community. But it's a tourist town, so you get a lot of traffic in the summer. But since I opened the shop, I've had a number of young guys come in and say, hey, I'm looking to do this, I'm looking to do that. One guy in particular, he had incredible artist. And I said, hey, why don't you come in, we'll sit down and talk, I'll show you everything that I've learned, which is not a whole lot because we're still fairly new. But I love that part of it because to see the passion in somebody else's eyes and I didn't know what I was doing, and you kind of learn from your own mistakes. So the little bit of knowledge that I had, it's my favorite thing is to pass it on to a young kid with a dream, because, I mean, it's a great market to get into, and just being able to help somebody like that to find something fun to do is pretty awesome.
Tell us how you got connected with Joe Schobert.
Actually, I believe it was from you initially.
You're welcome.
That's such a tee. Sorry, that's unbelievable. What a tee up, but keep going.
I think you had asked me if I was going to do a shirt for him, and I said I didn't want to jinx him. And you had Megan on your podcast, and I think you ran it by her, and then she contacted me, and I said, yeah, I would absolutely love to. And so I came up with a design and shot it off to them, and they liked it. And
he's not on the team anymore.
Why don't you elaborate a little bit more on what the shirts were?
It said show up, because for whatever reason, it just came to me, like his name, the play on the words. And that was a dude that always showed up to work hard. I mean, he's mm-hmm. just a good dude, and you know, put everything he had into this town. So it just kind of seemed like a natural fit. So
S-C-H-O. I love it. And then you made the shirts that he then gave out at his youth football camp for all the campers.
Yes. It was one of the shirts that he passed out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. That was my, that was at that point the highlight of every, and I think it was my first year that I was open. So that was pretty, I was completely shocked. I'm like, does he know? Like, I'm just this little tiny shop in Vermilion. Like, there's way bigger companies out there.
No, but you say tiny. I mean, you see people that try to start t-shirt companies or apparel companies, and they're working out of their living rooms for 5 years, if they even make it that far. You're a few years into the game, right? And you have a huge storefront, and you're doing stuff with players, which is awesome. And we're big Schobert, we're big Megan and Joe Schobert people on this podcast, even though they're in Jacksonville. So shouts to them.
Yeah, they're great people.
And let's talk about some pints and punts.
We'll get into the current player who may or may not be avoiding this podcast. We'll talk about that later.
We do the fundraising shirts for the Wounded Warriors Project with Jamie Gillen. He donates all the proceeds from that. His dad is a currently serving in the military overseas, and so he's a big supporter of the military, and he wanted to do something to raise money for the troops. So the Wounded Warrior Project was the charity that he picked out, and it's been going pretty well. I mean, he's just such a – I mean, he's got such an incredible story himself. It's – you know, for a guy like that to be selfless like he is with so many things, it's been incredible. And he's like a genuinely good guy, so that makes it a lot of fun.
Is his dad the Royal Air Force?
Yes.
Wow.
Dang. And sick. So every shirt you sell...
Sick knowledge, Raleigh. Sick knowledge.
Good Lord. We're talking about the Scottish Hammer, for those of you that are not familiar with the name, Jamie Gillen. And I feel like some people actually still might not know his real name. It's a minority, but what... So every single shirt sold... And I know you guys can't see this on video, but I'm wearing one of the Scottish Hammer shirts. Zabel's wearing another one, and there's one more. So every shirt... Raleigh's wearing a Zabel shirt, but not a Jamie Gillen shirt. So every Jamie... shirt that's bought from Zabo, a portion of that goes to Wounded Warriors, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, see, you can support the Browns and America at the same time, folks. ZaboApparel.com.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Brown stuff.
Ooh.
Guess what just got released yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Something like that. The schedule finally.
Hey, this week's been such a blur. Me and Kate are moving to the apartment below us, which is you're moving. When are you moving, Kevin?
I am moving July 1st let's just make sure everyone knows we're both staying in Chicago. But I would not wish moving on my worst enemy. It's the worst thing in the world.
Dude, for those of you that are listening that are under 18, they do not tell you about moving as an adult or like what to expect as an adult. And it also sucks because there's no solution for it. It just sucks ass.
One good thing, I love purging when moving.
That's true.
I mean, I just dumped five large black garbage bags of clothes and shoes to like the Goodwill. I'm going to clean all my closets, just throw away a ton of junk or donate a bunch of junk. So that's the good thing about moving, but there's nothing worse. It's horrible. I have to look at like 10 apartments in the next 36 hours, but you know what? There's people with a lot worse problems than this, but it's still annoying and I'm just venting about it. So, oh, hey, other breaking news. Speaking of breaking news, the CDC came out today and apparently we don't have to wear masks anymore.
Hey, yeah. We did it.
In Ohio, it's as of June 2nd and there's a lottery.
The $1 million a week is incredible. DeWine wants people to get that vax.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been the butt of many jokes in the store today. People coming in talking about it. It's like, yeah, we get the get rid of the mask, and we might win some money if we get a shot. It's like, oh, okay.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Wait,
that means we can't plug the Zabo apparel mask that I've been wearing regularly.
yeah.
You know what? I still think you got to wear them in hospitals, and a lot of places will still, like private, probably still say mask. But and I still think moving forward, I think airplanes and like trains and maybe buses, I think we'll see a lot of people for the foreseeable future, if not maybe permanently, masking up when they're there and during flu season.
Airplanes are the safest spots of all, from what I
heard. Okay, airplanes, O'Hare Airport are my enemy, my worst nightmare. That's where common sense goes to die, is when you're in an airport or you're boarding or deboarding a plane. I feel, and I do it with headphones, I do not ever want to talk to somebody random on an airplane. Unless like Kendall Jenner sits down next to me, then we'll chat. Shout out Kendall if you're listening. But the random people who want to talk to strangers on airplanes, I am not about that life at all. I think you should be thrown in jail for that. That's my personal opinion that I can vent on my platform, our platform. So what I'm getting at before we go into the schedule is that I hope that by wearing a mask on an airplane, it will deter people from wanting to talk to you randomly.
I'm the total opposite of that. I got my Browns cover on my phone, and people are like, oh, Browns looking pretty good this year, and I will talk their goddamn ears off.
That's different. When you find a mutual bond like that, when people just go, oh, you know, where are you going, and why long you stay? Like, sorry.
Well, we're on the same plane. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like such a different conversation because we're good. So you can see, it's kind of like being the little kid at school and you're getting picked on your whole life. And then all of a sudden, like you hit that growth spurt and now you're jacked and everybody's like, oh, hey, bro, how's it going? Like, instead of like, oh, you guys suck. It's like, they come in and start talking about football. Oh, you're a Browns fan? And it's like, oh, you're a Browns fan. Yeah, you're damn right I'm a Browns fan.
You're damn right I am. Oh, yeah.
I got a quick story. My best buddy, I watched him growing up our whole lives pick on his brother who's like, I don't know, 4 years younger than us. He was always a little twerp, little pipsqueak kid. And I told my buddy, I'm like, he's going to grow up and be four times your size and beat the hell out of you. He's like, yeah, you're an idiot. A few years ago, or I should say like high school, college, he hit a very large growth spurt. He's now in the military as well. He's about twice the size as my buddy now. And so it's great to say, hey, I told you so. So yes, spot on comparison. And another good segue by Zabo and you, Raleigh, into the schedule talk is because we are finally good, I have never cared or waited this long for a schedule to come out. Yay, yeah. Nay? Both of you, first reactions, Zabo first.
I started picking out the games that I was going to reasonably go to. The first thing I did when I heard about the Christmas game was shoot my wife a text saying, hey, I got plans on Christmas. And she said, ha ha, very funny. And I just replied with the smiley emoji. I'm like, there, it's on record. I already told her, so now we're good. Now she can't say I didn't tell her, but now she shut that one down right away. But it was like, I don't care who we play, because I know we're competitive in every game now. I mean, that's just, and it was kind of the thing.
Let's rev it back with a couple of knock on woods, boys. I continue. Sorry.
But everybody kind of expected it would be the Chiefs the first week. So that was kind of like oh yeah, of course we are, which I think is pretty going to be pretty exciting. So
question for you off that before Raleigh goes, we all knew it was going to be the Chiefs the first week. So everyone thought, did when it finally actually became reality, did that change your opinion or your expectations for that first week at all?
No, not one bit. I mean, it didn't matter who it was. I mean, we've had some weird schedule choices. Early in the season, the last couple of years, it seems like we get these weird games throughout. But so that just kind of made sense. But the way I looked at it is like, okay, we played the game we did against them last year with injuries, you know, so many guys out, and we should have won that game. Now we're going in there. They have no film on the defense we're going to run, and we've added so much talent to that side of the ball. I mean, I think the ball's in our court because they're by and large the same team. You know, they've added an offensive lineman and stuff like that, but the book's out on them, and they're good. But I think that gives us the element of surprise, you know, going in there with this on paper right now, what is a sick defense.
Yep.
So, I mean, if we were that close last time, just logically, I mean, I think it's going to be a much, much better game for us.
That's, I had my opinion. You might have just changed my mind, but I guess I'll go back to my original thought. That's huge. I mean, the revenge game component is huge. They don't have the film out on us. I will say, I mean, Mahomes was out of that game for was like a quarter with like a freak injury. So it's like, well, yeah, you never wish injuries upon people, but them not having Mahomes, that helps. Helped us keep it close. When I saw the Chiefs opening game, I personally was kind of pissed. I don't know if I'm in the minority in that, but I'm like, God bless it. Can we please just have one layup of an opening game where we just roll? I mean, because Kevin was saying this. This might be what your take will be, Kevin. We could get our asses kicked. We could kick their ass. It could be a close game. Whatever it is, the first week, it doesn't really matter. That's probably the game that matters the least. You could argue that the ass beating we obtained against Baltimore, they laid it down on us, that might have helped light a fire. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. I mean, these guys are professionals. But that first week, that sucked. When you're looking forward to something for the whole year, and I'm like, I want to go to Kansas City, but I'm like, if I have to fly home after a close loss or an ass beating where we're on the brunt side of that, I don't want to risk that. Like, can we open up against the Texans and just dominate them? God forbid we break the 30 game opening losing streak that we're on with a minimum heart attack, but that's like kind of the pessimist. How am I going to feel like, and then you got to go to work the next day. So I'm not saying the Browns can't win it. They absolutely can win it. But the anxiety through that week leading up to it for me is going to be through the goddamn roof.
You know, now that you say that about work the next day, it being a 4:25 game, 3:25 Chicago. Great that we're on national television. Of course, we'll have a few of those this year. The best thing about living in Central Time is that most games are the noon kickoff. You can go screw around and still pull yourself together for work on Monday morning. These late games are going to be a struggle. That's a side note. To Raleigh, you guys both nailed it, hit it on the head. Pros and cons. You know, every single person for every single team, they're always going to say, you're a much different team in week 10 than you are in week 1. I just feel that win or lose, and granted, disclaimer, no one in Cleveland really cares about the national media people. That's one good thing we have going for us. We really don't. But if we win, it's going to be, they're going to use their new O-line, yada, yada. If we lose, it's going to be, you know, are the Browns real? Are they legit? It's going to be the dumbest stuff nationally one way or the other. But pros, like you said, Zabo, they don't have tape on this defense. We're going to have 9 or maybe 10. Wait, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, maybe 10 new starters on defense.
Yeah.
That's a lot. 8? Anyway, a lot of new starters. And 8 new starters. KC, they got a few new O-linemen or something. Like that. This is the team we will see if we go to the AFC Championship. I'm knocking on wood. So that's where I see the motivation coming to our guys is if they win – hey, we came in after being together for only a few weeks and beat this team, and they're not really – yeah, every team gets – you know, they could get a lot better, of course, but they're not adding any personnel. Our team is going to be getting better, we hope. I mean, we have full faith that our from what we've seen week after week after week with all these new players. So, yeah, I don't know, guys. We could talk about this for hours. I am excited just to get the season kicked off, that they wanted to see these two teams play, that they're seeing us up on this level now. Not saying we are better than the Chiefs. Everyone relax. But, yeah, what else stood out to you guys? What other game? We talked about the Packers on Christmas.
I'm with Zabe. I mean, I found that every time in years past, if I try to analyze a schedule and come up with the games that I think we're going to win and the games I think we're going to lose, I am consistently wrong or surprised and annoying. So I'm like, why do I even think about it? Why do I even think about it? I'm literally looking at this thing and determining, all right, which games can I reasonably go to? And Kevin, you texted me about the flights from Chicago to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be it. Then we got this damn wedding that one of Kate's good friends. I'm like, oh, well, you can go to it without me, and then we can not go to these other weddings and call it even. She's like, yeah, well, it's also our anniversary weekend. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Anniversary weekends. Anniversaries are a thing that I have never had to deal with up until this point.
Yeah, Chicago to Minnesota is like the cheapest flight. It's like $90 round trip. That's why I looked at that one right away. The Packers, here's the thing. I've never been to Lambeau Field. It's Christmas. That's number one, obviously. A lot of things, but obviously, who knows if Aaron Rodgers will be there. So does that affect if people want to go there or not? Number two or number three, wherever I'm at right now. Lambeau has always been the top of my list because they're just legit nice people. I mean, the thing about going to Lambeau, from everyone I know that's been there, is we'll walk through their Muni lot, and they'll be inviting Browns people up to, like, drink with them and handing them beers. And afterwards, even if we lose at the bars, they're like, oh, good game, you know, great to have you in town. They're just hospitable people, like when Ohio State plays Nebraska at Nebraska, same thing. So, forget that it's not Christmas. Aaron Rodgers or not, would that still be one of the games you guys would want to go to?
I would love to go. I've never seen the stadium. I would love to see a game there. It's Christmas. I got the old, well, we didn't have a Christmas last year because of COVID. That was one of the first.
Oh, man, think about that. Yeah.
But I'm like, well, Christmas kind of happens every year. We don't always play the Packers on Christmas Day. So it's like, you know.
Go ahead.
So this is like, if you got a quick little tidbit to give in, because I'm about to go on a rant. I'm going to educate this audience with some knowledge and experience and some wisdom.
I was just going to ask if your families or you consume alcohol on Christmas Day, because the first thing I thought was, oh boy, this is going to turn up a little bit for Christmas Day for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Continue, Raleigh.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about the concept of where I would be watching it if I didn't. I'm like, oh, I got to watch it. Like, I may be watching it with Kate's family. So I have been to Lambeau. I went to the Packers-Patriots game on – it was like around Thanksgiving. I think it was the year where the Patriots beat the Seahawks with the Marshawn Lynch lack of run. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like the number one game of the year. It was a shootout. It was awesome. The whole experience was awesome. We went to Milwaukee, which that city is awesome. Everyone is so nice. They all love booze, brats, and cheese. Nicest people in the world. Their accents are hilarious. But this is something that a lot of people don't realize about Green Bay. Green Bay is a community. It's not a city. There is no skyline. You drive up there, and it is a giant stadium and surrounded by a bunch of little houses. So it's like the majority of that, I can't say this exactly, but that stadium gets filled every game, people all across the state. A ton of them are coming from Milwaukee. So it's almost like, imagine if the Cleveland Browns, if their fans were filled up every stadium, people making the two-hour drive from Columbus. Like, that's how committed they are. And I'm also like, we had a party bus, and we got hammered, and I know everybody else gets hammered there. How the hell are these people driving back home? So it's insane.
I'm like, a lot of spotted cow.
Yeah. And, dude, so when I think about Christmas logistics, I'm like, okay, it's not like you just hop off a flight and you take a 30, 45-minute Uber to the stadium or something along the lines of that. It's like, no, you are in no man's land, which is kind of sick and kind of adds to the merit of the trip. But I personally would love to go, but I'm probably not going to win that argument with my wife either.
I can't see a situation in which I thought about it.
No chance I go.
What other games besides Green Bay, Christmas Day? I really wish we had a Thanksgiving night game. I want that more than Christmas or anything else, not playoff games, of course. What other games did you guys see in the schedule yesterday that piqued your interest, you have circled, you're worried about, not worried about? I will start off before I let you guys talk. I don't like the back-to-back Ravens games with the bye in between. I don't know. There's pros and cons to that, too, but I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, that's – they did the same bullshit with us and the Steelers two years ago.
Yep.
What was it? Steelers-Miami Steelers or something?
Yeah. This – I like that stretch because – and here's the reason why, and it kind of goes along with why I like the opening – day game against the Chiefs. It's a culture thing. If you look at how the season played out last year, there was so much adversity. Hey, you guys don't have a coach this week. Hey, you guys don't have any wide receivers. Hey, you know this. Hey, guess what? You get to play the Steelers again next week in Pittsburgh. And they came out and they performed. There's a difference in the culture in this team. You can see they just have, I don't want to say like a cliche, like a constant chip on their shoulder, but they are.
It is.
They're just like, I don't care what you throw in front of me. That's going to make us work harder. And that's the kind of cult. That's winning football culture right there. So against the Chiefs, I look at it like, bring it on. You know that I'm imagining as a fan, I'm seeing that's what their mentality is. Cool, we get them first. Let's get it out of the way. Knock these dudes off and go get the rest of the league. So for the Ravens, we already beat the Steelers 2 weeks in a row. I'm looking at this like, okay, we get to beat them the first time. Then they got to go play the Steelers, prepare for them. We're sitting there back there preparing for the Ravens again, healing up a little bit, then go get another crack at them. So I was talking about this with my brother. He's like, so how do you think that's going to go? He's like, well, we'll beat them the first time, and then we'll blow them up the second time because we have a whole week to prepare.
I'm like, that's so Cleveland. We'd say that 5 years ago, though, too. In the middle of the 0-16 season, we still would have said the same thing. We're just lunatics.
Games that I'm looking at, Kevin, as – that I'm probably going to go to both. I'm circling Browns at New England. And it just seems like that could be a cheap little, like, New England could suck this cheap year. Flight. And that would be awesome. And if we just mauled them and they're like, 2-7 when we play them, I'm like, guess what? We beat the Patriots. That is sick. I would talk so much shit to every person in that city with their ridiculous accents and their undeserving sports bases for literally all teams. And L.A. L.A. would be fun.
Yeah. I think I got October 10th at the Chargers in that new stadium. They're the ones in the new stadium, right? I can't keep track of the L.A. teams. But that's the one I want to go to because L.A. in October, it's not quite cold yet, but it'll still be a nice reprieve from the Midwest. Green Bay, we already talked about that way too much. At Minnesota, maybe. And here's the thing to not just us, but I want to tell all the listeners here, all 10 million of you, that I'm kidding. Hi, Mom and Mrs. Davis. For the first time in my life, man, you could argue the last couple years too, we have a non-zero chance of going far, I'm knocking, in the playoffs. So part of me wants to not blow all this too early and maybe save up because, you know, say we go a little deeper into the playoffs to maybe that last game of the year, I would spend an ungodly amount of money on that experience. So what do you think about that?
I'm thinking that's wrong. You got to let it ride. I will go 10 grand in a credit card debt if you can watch it. Like when you – like going to the Super Bowl.
That's fair. I would. You're right.
I didn't go to the year the Buckeyes won the first championship. What was that 2002, 2003?
Yeah.
I went to the game where we beat the shit out of who was it? Like San Jose State. It's like, yeah. Did I watch them beat the Hurricanes? Not in wherever the hell they played, Arizona actually. But I was a part of that winning culture when I watch them play San Jose State. So I like to think the same thing applies to if you go to a couple of away games this year and the Super Bowl.
And back to speaking of that, talking about culture, Zabel, you hit the nail on the head. The thing that I have liked the most, and I've said this now many times, it's so nice to have a mature adult organization for the first time ever, at least since, you know, we came back in 99. You got Baker texting the draft picks. You got Baker texting the new signees. You know, setting that standard right off, or the expectation right off the bat, right from the jump. Congratulations. We're happy to have you. There's a reason we picked you. You're going to help us, but it's time to go to work. I think, well, this isn't actually anything absurd observation. These guys take so much pride in the new culture that they've led, that they've formed. Baker, Miles, Jarvis, all these guys that came in and said, this is a shit show. Let's clean it up. And they did. And now they're holding onto that so tight. And I've just never been so happy to see that. We finally have a building with legit expectations, and not just expectations, but consequences if you don't perform. We've seen, I'm not going to throw any names out, we've seen if you're not playing well, Stefanski will sit you for the week. That's what it is. And that's why I've always said before for my whole life, Belichick is one of my favorite coaches of all times. So is our friend, excuse me, wow. So is the guy over at Pittsburgh, Tomlin. Those are my two favorite coaches of all time, because if you suck, you are gone. If you cause any nonsense off the field, on the field, if you're a deep, whatever, you're gone. There's no time for bullshit. They're there. It's all business. And I think we're right there, finally. That's my whole random rant. Back to you guys.
Do you have anything to add to that, Zabo, before I ask a more fan-tiered question?
Yeah. What you just said there, too, about the way things are in that building. I don't know if you guys caught the last, I think it was the very last, building the Browns on YouTube.
Not to interrupt you. Oh, I am so sorry. That is so well done. If you're not watching Building the Browns on YouTube, it's incredible. But sorry, continue.
So two of the things you mentioned, like about people wanting to come here, a couple of players, that, you know, they had the videos of when they get announced they're coming to Cleveland. To see the joy, I forget which player it was.
Newsom.
Was it Newsom? There were two of them that had some pretty awesome reactions. One guy actually dropped his phone. Like, they're showing the video, the Zoom meet call or whatever, as they're telling them he's getting drafted, and he drops his phone, and you hear everybody in the background cheering because he's going to Cleveland. Like, that was awesome. But then they show the inside of the office building and the facility, and there's a big sign there that says work. And you see it more than once. It just says work in big orange letters. And that just gave me chills. I'm like, that's what football's about. Like, that's what you know what you're getting when you walk down those halls. And that just gave me chills to know that's the culture now. It's none of this BS. Who cares what they're saying outside of it? We're going to come in and do our jobs. And everybody's bought into it, it seems like.
Dude, did you guys see the I cannot remember the name of this documentary to save my life. It was Belichick, like Saban. I feel like Petten was there or something, but old school Browns, like shortly before the team left. But just showing that organization with how grinded and how they just grinded and were so committed. Like
the art of coaching.
Working, they were working their asses. They're working their asses off nonstop, like underpaid interns. They're grinding too. It's just so. I'm like, wow, yeah, that franchise would leave.
But that was HBO. Yeah, The Art of Coaching.
But we are back. So here's my question, and it's kind of changing topics, but I have adult ADHD, and I'm very what's the term? Sporadic. I'm seeking a therapist now. So what's up? Anywho. I got my sister a Chubb jersey for Christmas, and
oh, no.
She was in the,
drink some.
She was, no, I never got there. I thought she got it. She was, she was an officer candidate school in the military, and she graduated. She's in flight school now. Shout out Anna.
Big time shout out to Anna.
So
that's awesome.
It's great. We're proud of you, Anna. Thank you for your service. The shirt never got there. The jersey never got there. And I was like, what the hell? And then I was like, okay, well, now should I get you a Chubb jersey again? Because he's on the last year of his rookie contract, and I'm trying to think, what is the safest jersey to get for her or for yours? Because I gave away my Myles Garrett jersey, and I need to reload myself. I got a sick discount code, by the way, because they felt bad. 40% off if you guys want a jersey. Hit me up. I got it.
Good God.
But what jersey would you get that's a safe investment, like a cool jersey to get?
Zabel, you go first.
I'm too superstitious. I couldn't buy another jersey. I have an old Leroy Hart jersey, and that's the last one. I bought Peyton Hillis. I bought Ruben Jones. I bought Dante Whitner. And
Hittner. I got a Hittner too.
Wait, we talked about this on the episode last week with Ricky, founder of Renovacs of Kindness, that I saw several Ruben Jones jerseys at the draft a few weeks ago. On time, it was amazing. For me personally, I would only, if I'm buying another jersey, it's going to be Joe Thomas.
Yeah,
and second to that would possibly be Myles Garrett, because we have him for, it's guaranteed for many more years. Knock on wood again. But you know what? No, stop. No current players. Joe Thomas is the next jersey I would buy if I'm buying a jersey.
I don't know, man, because I got myself a Garrett jersey, and he thrived, and he's been thriving. So I may be jersey curse impervious. Granted, the Hittner jersey was the last one I bought before that, and I was just like, never again. I got a good feeling about JOK, man. I think he's going to be dirty.
Great transition.
Okay. Let me just chime in there on the Garrett thing. Here's what really happened with Garrett. He is just such a badass. He got COVID. Like, that would have ended it, a normal man, but he got COVID because you bought that jersey. But it just didn't end his career. So that, he's just such a badass. He didn't get the full brunt of the jersey curse.
God damn it.
It's just something to consider.
Yeah,
I'm not superstitious. I just think there's things that we have to do as fans that alter the
outcome. No, but you know, hey, no, that's a great point, Zabel, because now I'm thinking, Raleigh, you are very superstitious yourself. You've admitted that many times in this podcast. Do you think, or have you ever thought, that the fact that the jersey, and you gave your jersey away to a kid who needed it, which was an awesome gesture. I don't like praising you, but I'm going to.
The kid had a slow jersey, dude. He was going to his first game.
True. Yeah.
And no.
I can't even. I'm not legally allowed to say what I want to say about Kellen Winslow Jr. But do you think that was a sign? That was just, you know, divine intervention that you passed off that jersey to someone else. And was that another higher power saying, "Let's give this jersey away and go elsewhere"?
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go Tim Couch, dude.
Hey, that's still one of the most popular jerseys, and no one's going to give anyone shit for wearing a Couch jersey.
No.
I'd wear that thing with pride.
Now that people, after many, many years, of course, the first few years after, again, like we talked about when we interviewed him on the podcast last year, no big deal. People expected him to come in and be Bernie Kosar and take us right back to contention. And now, you know, many, many years after he left, people finally looked back and was like, oh, man, he got screwed. It was not his fault. So I feel like there's a couple of years where people may have been afraid to wear a Couch jersey, but now it's like he's still one of the most popular jerseys out there.
He was I feel so bad for the team he got drafted to.
And that's the hard thing, too, because you see these guys, and they're people. You know, they're not just these – they're not just athletes, they're people. So, you know, he had to listen to every bit of criticism like so many other guys on the team. So, especially a guy like him, where you know he had the talent and he is just in a bad situation. It's just heartbreaking. And a lot of the NFL, I think, is this way. It's the luck of the draw. It's time and place and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a guy that, you know, the expectations were super high. And it's like, hey, go win the Indy 500. Here's my dad's Pinto. You know, take off.
Yeah, that's the Indy 500 Pinto. That's a sick.
That might be one of the best analogies we've had on this podcast ever. Yeah,
I have a lot of issues with college football. One, like when you see a player thrive, it's like, all right, did they thrive for Ohio State when they were better than 9.5 out of teams that they were playing throughout the regular season? He had every college record for so many years, and he did it at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was good. You could tell he has talent, but like if the Bengals aren't careful, they're going to do to Joe Burrow exactly what the Browns did to Tim Couch.
We said it all last year. We said we hope he doesn't get couched, and he did.
I do not wish that upon anyone. That's, God, such a dumb organization. In the past, we're in the future, but I still got to get my sister a jersey, and like that's a Christmas present that I'm delinquent on now. So
we need to go a little more thought into that one. I'm going to think about that too, actually. Because thinking about, talk about, you've been in the military. All, you know, whenever there's big games on TV, they all, you know, Super Bowl, they always go over to a base in Afghanistan or Iraq, and there'll be, you know, 20 people with, and of course they're always in it, or they were, the Patriots, or...
They never did that for the Browns.
Do you, no, because we've never been in the Super Bowl, but talk about the NFL and the military. I mean, did you fire the Browns people out there? Is it like gang wars? Is it still like just like a fun, like everyone sticks to their teams? Like, explain that side to us. You know, unintentionally ignorant folks.
Oh, you mean while you're serving in the military?
Yeah.
Like, as far as fandom among the guys you work with?
Yes.
Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. I remember one of my staff sergeants, we were on night shift together, and the Indians were playing the Marlins, and he's from Florida. And that was the game where we were up, and then they came back. He's like, listen here, Devil Dog. You're not doing anything else. You're sitting right next to me. We're watching this game. And it was like the first half was awesome. And then when we started losing, it was like the worst berating I've ever had in my life. So it is totally awesome. It's a lot of fun.
And that is awesome.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. But yeah, personally, I wouldn't be there because I'm not built for that stuff, but that's amazing. One more question. Speaking of Ohio State, speaking of everything else we've been talking about, this could be a very dumb question. Some people will hear this and be like, are you an idiot? No way. But I'm going to ask you anyway.
Do you use Manscaped? I haven't yet.
Oh!
We got a Manscaped plug. That's where
breaking news. Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Listen to me, every single one of you. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0, that's trademarked, by the way, trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. Listen, Raleigh and I both have this. Thank you, Manscaped, for sending it to us. This was released not that long ago, maybe a couple weeks. Here's what we're going to do for you. You're very welcome. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20, at manscaped.com, MANSCAPED.com. You're welcome. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code fanside, fanside20. That's the code fanside20 at manscaped.com. We almost got through it perfectly, but I messed up. It's okay. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Great segue by you, Raleigh. Great ad read by me. Now back to my question.
Wait a minute. I wanted to add this.
Okay, go ahead.
The ball's in your court.
The
shaved balls. Oh!
To be fair, Manscaped provides like 100 examples of things you can say, and that's not on there. So that's pretty incredible. Good job.
I went rogue.
My question, week 4, is it week 4, week 3, week 5, the Bears come to Cleveland. You just got to assume Justin is starting by then. Does Fields get a warm reception / applause by the fans in Cleveland? Justin Fields, Ohio State's former quarterback.
Yeah, I probably initially. I think there will be.
A little bit.
But I don't know. It's I saw the opposite with Braylon Edwards. We had a field pass one game, and he was like, I'm going to do warm-ups. And there were some dudes in the fans that got there early, and they're just talking smack to Braylon Edwards because he had a Michigan shirt on. So they set that passage, and he was like, hey, you ain't got to worry about this. Just worry about what I do out here, which worked out really well for him. But they get, like,
was this, I don't first, know. Was this his first or second tour with the Browns?
I think it was the second, maybe year two.
I discovered Five Hour Energy because of him. He might have been their first ever commercial.
I think there's, for me anyway, there's a separation because when we, the San Francisco game, we watched it out in San Francisco, and Bosa They smoked us that game. Bosa, Ohio State, we're sitting there. We had pretty good seats when we were down low. They didn't show a lot of it on camera. He was running around imitating Baker and, you know, doing the flag plant and all this crap, you know, going back to the college thing, you know. And I looked at him and I'm like, you are dead to me, dude. You are right now. You're dead to me. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah, Ohio State, that's great. But I don't know. There's a passion Browns fans have that I think transcends Ohio State in some ways, but then in other ways, it goes the opposite direction, too.
Yeah, so, I'll always root for Buckeyes in the league, but Browns fandom will trump all, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to play, Kevin, against the Browns. I think the Bears are doing the right thing, and they're going to let him sit behind Dalton or whoever.
I'd agree with you, but it's Dalton. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Rocket's durable for the most part. He's pretty old now. Whatever. We'll see it. But yeah, they're not going to – they'll boom if he, like, kicks our asses or something. But I think if we, like, shell him, they'll give him the time of day.
Well, I feel like he'll get at least a couple snaps in Ohio. But I could be wrong. I usually am. You want to say something. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how this is going to play out. So we're smoking them. He's not the starter, like Wally said. Dalton's the starter. He comes in the fourth quarter doing cleanup duty, you know, and we're up by, I don't know, 40 or 50 points by at this time. So then he comes on, gets a standing ovation. That's how I can see that happening.
All right. I like that.
I thought you were going to go with us blowing a 28-point lead.
Yeah, I was afraid I could see that happen.
I like your
The old Browns. So we did exactly what we said we wouldn't do, and we almost gone an hour. Any closing thoughts, comments, concerns from either of you gentlemen before we bid our farewell for the week?
Yeah, I guess I've decided I'm not going to get my sister a current jersey.
Excellent.
Nice.
Or if you do, just do it outside of the circle where they're protected by not playing currently.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a bummer. She really wanted that Chubb jersey.
Mr. Zabel, where can we find you on Instagram now?
Zabel Apparel Company on Instagram.
Okay. Well, still close enough to the last one.
His original account.
If you, I don't know how many times I've been telling you folks, it's no secret anymore. You got to check out Zabel Apparel, ZABOApparel.com. Go to the Shop in Vermilion, check out the website. They have some of the best designs you'll see for all the Cleveland teams, for the military, for the cities, everything. Just check them out. Zabo is way too humble to be plugging it as hard as I am, but I'm plugging it as hard as I am because I thoroughly enjoy it, and I support it, and I wear it all the time. On that note, anything else, gents?
The Browns are going to be sick this year.
Yeah, I just want the season to start.
On behalf of...
summer and
no, I agree. We're like 120 or 20, 121 days out. We're almost there. On behalf of my co-host, equally, whatever the hell he says when he intros me, Raleigh, our other honorary co-host, esteemed guest, Brian Zabel. The Dogs of War podcast will be back next week. Thank you, sir, Brian, for coming on again, and good night, Cleveland.
It seems the Browns are going